Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, an evidence-based radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating our 24th year with a tradition of quality nutritional supplements and healthcare products at everyday low prices. So we can help you to help yourself live healthy, live wise, live strong, one step at a time. Our topic today is vitamin K2 and its relationship to calcium. And joining us today is Dr. Kate Rionblu. Dr. Kate is a naturopathic doctor, is a sought-after speaker, also has frequent guest appearances on both radio and television, and is the author of the book Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox. So Dr. Kate, welcome back to Insights for Health.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So let's just jump right in here. Like, what is the calcium paradox, and as in the title of your book?
Well, that is this paradoxical situation, this double-edged sword in which we need calcium in the body, but we need it to be in the right places. Of course, it needs to be in the bones and in the teeth. And if it's not there, there are problems. And even more seriously, if the calcium starts to build up in other places like soft tissues of our arteries or kidney stones, even things like heel spurs and other areas, then calcium can be dangerous. So we have a problem with calcium in that we want to get it and keep it in the right place and make sure it doesn't end up in the wrong place. And it's kind of tricky.
So yeah, like we know that we need a supplement. We take calcium supplements. We are faithful in doing that. But yet there's this double-edged sword you talked about.
Exactly. Unfortunately, studies have shown that people who take calcium supplements have 20 to 30% greater risk of heart attack and stroke than those who don't. And this is because the added calcium can build up in areas like arteries, where it leads to hardening of the arteries and problems. Now, this is not to say that if you don't have or if you're not taking a calcium supplement that you're in the clear, because we know that this problem with calcium, the hardening of the arteries that leads to heart attack and stroke, is the number one cause of death in North America, even for people who don't take calcium supplements. So whether or not you're taking calcium supplements, but especially if you are, we have to pay attention to how to keep calcium in the right places all the time.
So that's where vitamin K2 comes in.
Exactly. Vitamin K2 is a fat-soluble vitamin that is, not many people have heard of it, was overlooked for a long time due to a case of mistaken identity, essentially, but it is as important as vitamin D, and its job is to take calcium and put it in the right places. So vitamin D will help us absorb calcium, which is important, but once the calcium is absorbed, vitamin D has no control over where that calcium goes. Vitamin K2 will take the calcium, make sure it ends up in the bones, and make sure it doesn't end up in the areas we don't want it to be in.
Okay, so it's a fat-soluble vitamin.
Yeah, like vitamin D, exactly.
And so now, how is that different from a water-soluble?
It has to do mainly with, well, the food sources, where we find it in foods. Water-soluble vitamins are primarily found in fruits and vegetables and grains, for example. Fat-soluble vitamins are typically found in, the fat of, egg yolks, butter, things like this, animal foods, as well as how the body metabolizes it. So what happens to it as we absorb it and as it moves through the body.
So you mentioned a few seconds ago there that vitamin K2 is little known. Like, I know in the subtitle of your book it says how a little-known vitamin can save your life. So where's this mistaken identity coming in? What's happening there?
Well, this is the thing. Vitamin K2 was overlooked for decades, literally, since it was discovered. So technically, vitamin K is actually a family of vitamins. So it's not just one, but a few, like the B vitamins. You can't just say, take some vitamin B, because that doesn't really mean anything, because there's different ones. Yep. So the K vitamins were both discovered, K1 and K2, back in the 1930s. But researchers at the time thought that they were essentially the same thing, that K1 and K2 were both blood-clotting vitamins that come from green leafy vegetables. That's true for vitamin K1. It comes from green leafy vegetables. It helps in blood clotting. And it's actually almost impossible to be deficient in this because the body recycles it. Vitamin K2 was discovered at the same time. People assumed, or the researchers assumed, it was the same thing. And so it was essentially ignored. And for decades, we didn't appreciate the fact that vitamin K2 does not come from green leafy vegetables. It does not participate in blood clotting under normal circumstances. And we don't recycle it. So in fact, it's easy to become deficient in vitamin K2. And this can lead to a whole bunch of problems like osteoporosis, atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, these kinds of calcium problems.
So K1 and K2 have very, even though they're a family, they have two very distinct and different purposes in the body.
Exactly. Different food sources, different purposes, different ways that they're metabolized.
And in reading your book, it's as though there's, though they have the same name basically in K, that they really are not related in that any by their function.
Well, you know, they're slightly structurally similar, which is why they appeared similar when they were first discovered. And there is a tiny amount of overlap between them under certain circumstances. But for, you know, everyday and, you know, intents and purposes, we can consider them as two distinct nutrients. And yes, it would clear the confusion if maybe they had different names.
Yeah. Now, so what's K2 actually doing? It's, we consume it. Now, even before I get there, like, there is a deficiency. I mean, most of the population is deficient. Am I correct in saying that?
That's absolutely right. Like vitamin D, and we've heard over, you know, the recent years, even the past decade or two, that vitamin D deficiency is widespread. We find the same thing with vitamin K2. There have been a number of studies, population-based studies, that show that most apparently healthy adults are in fact deficient in vitamin K2. And what does that mean? Well, it means that you don't have enough vitamin K2, for example, to keep the calcium in the right places it should be all the time. So, you know, you can be apparently healthy, but gradually bone loss is setting in, osteoporosis, or plaque is building up in the arteries, for example, in addition to other areas where K2 plays a role, like cancer protection and prevention.
So now what's K2 doing for us? Let's say now that we accept that, okay, I'm deficient, I'm going to take a supplement, I'm going to change my diet, I'm going to get K2 into my system. What's it going to do for me?
Mm-hmm. So K2, once we ingest it or absorb it, whether it's from food or supplements, will then go around the body and activate a number of proteins that are already there. They're sitting waiting to do a job that they can't do until K2 comes in and turns them on. And once they are activated, those proteins will do several things for us. The big one is that they will take calcium and move it into our bones where we want it. They'll also take calcium and move it out of soft tissues, making sure it doesn't land there and even removing it from those areas. And they will also do a few more things, like, for example, participate in cell growth regulation. And when you hear those words, you think cancer prevention.
So this protein that's in our body, mm-hmm. It's just sitting there. It's not really doing anything. It's floating around, following our bloodstream, etc. It requires K2 to be activated?
Yes, exactly. There are, in fact, a number of different proteins. And interestingly, when certain conditions arise, like osteoporosis or atherosclerosis, the body will make more of these proteins that are essentially just waiting to help you, but they can't do that until the K2 comes in and activates them.
So this doesn't always show up right away.
No, that's the thing with vitamin K2. This is why we can say most apparently healthy adults are deficient, is because you may seem healthy, but the process of bone loss and osteoporosis that may lead to a fracture, or building of atherosclerosis that may lead to a heart attack, that can progress over decades. It can be very, very slow and insidious. So the signs and symptoms of a K2 deficiency aren't obvious right away, or they may be things that we associate as, you know, part of the normal aging process, when in fact it's a nutrient deficiency.
Right. So there's these two different proteins, right? There's one for the bone, and then there's one for the soft tissues.
Well, there's actually about 17 different proteins.
Oh, well,
but
oh,
I'm
trying to narrow it down here.
That's right. You know what? There are two, you know, for the, to make it simple to understand, you're right. There are like two main ones that we can think of. You can think of one that takes the calcium, puts it into the bones where we want it. And you can think of another one that essentially takes the calcium out of the areas we don't want it.
So we have two groupings of these proteins.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So one is for bone, one is for soft tissues in the heart and so on?
Yeah, heart, blood vessels, that includes arteries, veins, but other areas in the body like, you know, heel spurs, kidney stones, things like that.
Yeah. Doctor, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, let's pick it up on the bone health and the heart health.
Sounds good.